this morning's service, I just want to encourage you going into the new year. So open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to look at a few words, a couple of scriptures that Paul shares. And I think they're very appropriate for going into the new year. Because I know, like most people, and maybe yourself, you like to make resolutions. How many here every year you make a resolution to the Lord? It's well, a lot of people do. And I kind of want to share some of the most popular physical resolutions and then share the spiritual resolutions. But if you're like most people, I know I do it spiritually, physically. Yeah, I try to, but I kind of give up on some of them. But the most popular physical resolutions that are made, and if you have made these, I want you to raise your hand and don't be embarrassed about that because you know what? We're family, right? Okay, I hear it a lot, and I went online and said, what are the most popular? And one is to lose weight. I give that resolution every day, right? And I said, Lord, I want to lose weight, but I'm eating my fifth tamale. Quit smoking, which I, yeah, there you go. How about reduce debt? Yeah, I'm good at debt, you know, making debt. I want to reduce it. Settling down. Just settling down in life and just taking it easy and maybe finding a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Getting rich. Oh, yeah. You know, I want to be a, Lord, I want to be a rich Christian, right? If you let me win the lotto, Lord, I promise to give you 10%. I always tell people, why don't you give God 90% and you keep 10%? I mean, if you hit the lotto, you can live off 10% of it anyways, right? So getting rich. And then to buy a house, which is not a bad thing. I don't think resolutions are bad. I think they're good because they make you reflect on your life and the changes that you can make in your life, right? But as I was going through statistics, I found out that 45% Americans who make more than one resolution per year, most of these resolutions, they fail within the first 6 months. People make these resolutions. They say that the first week in the new year, 75% of resolutions, they are maintained and you're keeping them. And then past the first week, 2 weeks later, 71% of those who make resolutions, they keep them, you know, 71, it starts to drop. And then within 1 month, 64% of Americans who make resolutions or adults, it drops down to 64%. And then after half a year, 46%, it ends. And it's true because I fall into that category. And we tend to break our resolutions because why? Sometimes we set them too high or we expect too much or just high expectations. But again, I believe that resolutions aren't a bad thing, but I think they're good when they're done in the right perspective. Okay, when you do them in the right attitude and you do them for the right reasons, I think they're a good thing because listen to what the definition of resolution is. This is what it means. A resolution means it's the act or the process of resolving, the act of analyzing a complex notion and making it into a simpler one, the act of answering, solving, the act of determining. So resolutions are to me, are a process of thinking. They're resolving on thinking and how to resolve and make things more simple and better in your life. Well, that's a good thing, right? But then, now, we get into the spiritual resolutions. And I think, as a Christian, I think all of us should do this every year because I'm going to share what Paul tells us about spiritual resolutions. Here's some of the most common spiritual resolution. If you made this resolution, I want you to raise your hand. Okay? First spiritual resolution is to read more, right? Yes, we all want to do that. I can't get enough. I want to read more and more. In fact, I talked with one of our teachers, and she was talking about reading more frequently in her devotion. I told her, I said, well, you need to read more than that. I want you to read right before you go to bed, read a chapter. When you wake up in the morning, first thing you do is read a chapter. I said, that's what you really need to do every day. And I said, I'm going to hold you accountable to that, because every morning when I see you, I'm going to come in. I'm going to say, hey, did you read? And so I came in the next day, and I forgot to tell her that. But she said, Pastor, I want you to know that I read last night, and I read this morning. I said, that's good. That's what the Lord wants. So that's a good resolution, right? Read more. And then next one is to pray more. How many of you said, Lord, this year I want to be a prayer warrior? Every day we should be praying, guys. Prayer to us is like what air is to breathing. You got to breathe air to live. Well, the same way with praying. You got to pray to live spiritually, because God wants to talk to us. So that should be a resolution that you should be holding to for the new year. And then fellowship more. How about you, any of you say, hey, Lord, this year I want to fellowship more. I want to get involved in home fellowship. I want to get involved in the women's ministry. I want to go to the men's ministry or be more involved in fellowshipping with one another. And then there's from fellowshipping, because the scriptures do tell us that don't forsake the fellowship of the saints. That's biblical. Now, people say you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. That's not biblical, because the Bible says otherwise. You do have to go to church. It says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. He's talking about coming together corporately as the body of Christ. We need each other. Radio ain't going to do it. Radio was, that was for the 30s and the 40s and the 20s, where they sat and watched radio. Can you imagine sitting there and here's a radio and just sit there and watch the radio? And then TV came, television came, it all changed. And now they were watching television, and it was black and white. It was very, very family-oriented. It was very great. And then when color came in, that's when it went downhill. It did. I mean, when color came, it just, it's called, you know, people say that the television is the devil's box. And it can be. It can truly be. I mean, it's just awful what you see on television. It's I'm guilty of it myself. And you get caught up into it. So I think we need that fellowship. We need to fellowship with one another. Another resolution is get more closer to the Lord. How many of you said that? This year will be the year that I will get closer to the Lord. Very important. Or more involved. This year, I want to be more involved. And when we have a function, I want to get involved, because I really believe faith isn't faith until you give it away. And then last, grow in the Lord. I want to grow in the Lord this year. Well, I love what Chuck Smith said. He said, if you're not closer to the Lord than you were yesterday, then you're already in a backslidden state. And it's true. And so these are the spiritual resolutions that we should be more apt to do and concerned than the physical resolutions. So if you made a resolution this year, remember what the Word of God says. It says this, let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. In other words, if you make a commitment to God, say, Lord, I'm going to make a resolution and I'm going to do this, you better do it, because God's going to hold you accountable to it, because he said, okay, that's what I want, right? Now listen to what Paul says, because I want to share a little bit what Paul says about a resolution, and I'm going to give you three, and I want you to write them down, resolutions that you need to fulfill in this new year. He says in verse 12, chapter 3, and Paul's talking about pressing towards the goal of that high calling in the Lord. The highest calling in the Lord, people say coming into the ministry is the highest calling. That's not true, guys. That's false. The highest calling is wherever you are. That's your highest calling. Whether it's in the workplace, out there in the streets, walking, that's the highest calling, is for you to share Christ, you to be that example of the Lord. So it's not coming into the ministry. Sometimes working in the ministry is harder than working in the world. I hear people say, well, I'm tired of working for the world. I want to work for the Lord. Well, you don't know how hard it is to do that. You know, I tell you what, it's like when I met with Mike, and I asked him, hey, Mike, I had to know this, because I wanted to know, if am I the only one feeling like this? If the Lord would have showed you everything that you had gone through, everything that you went through, would you have done it? And he looked at me and says, no. And I said, me neither. And I said, but I guess that's all we know. That's all we know. You know, and so that's why the Lord doesn't show you. That's why he says his mercies are new every morning. They're new every morning. He says his joy, it's unspeakable and it's full of glory. He says he gives you the peace that passes all understanding. And he says that he gives you that grace that's not, it's not merited, it's unmerited in its favor from him. And that's why I really believe that we need to make our relationship with the Lord. You need to be creative. We're going into a whole new year now. So, like I always say to you, and you guys hear me say this, when you walk in the door, here in this room, in our upper room, when you walk in, I always pray that you leave here not the same way you walked in, that you leave differently, that you leave walking away with something that God spoke to you and God maybe answered a question or a prayer or God healed you. Well, it's the same for the new year. You don't want to go into the new year with the same way that you lived your life in the old year. Now, look what he says in verse 12. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Well, guess what? Paul was apprehended on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute the Christians there, to put them into prison, to put them to death, men, women, children. You can read about it in Acts chapter 6. But that's when Jesus got a hold of him. He said, hey, that I may lay hold of that from which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. That's when Jesus knocked them to the ground in Acts chapter 6. And then here, I love what Paul's saying. He says, even though the Lord got a hold of him, he says, I'm still not there yet. He says, I still have a lot to learn. How many of you feel like that? I hope you do, because you never want to get to that point where you say, okay, I'm done. I learned it all. I'm good to go, and I don't need this anymore. No, even Chuck said that. He said, because Chuck was a really godly man, and Chuck Smith can get up here, and he don't even need books or anything, the Bible. He was a walking Bible, and he always taught and just read and then shared. And he said one day at the pastor's conference, he says, I don't know everything in the Word of God. I was shocked. I was like, what? Wow. He says, I have still not reached the potential. And he says, I have a lot to learn. And he says, you'll never get to the point where you say, okay, I'm done. Paul says it here. You know, he still had a lot to learn. And I think for us as believers, guys, and I want to encourage you as a believer, guess what? Perfection is waiting for us when we step into eternity. Look at the person next to you. Just look around. The person that you're looking at is going to one day be perfect. Perfect. Wives, your husbands, they're going to be perfect. Husbands, your wives, they're going to be perfect. It's hard to believe, huh? It's hard to believe that right now, right? What? You're going to be perfect? Yes, we are going to be perfect. And we are going to be able to say, I have reached it when we get it, step into eternity. That's what we have waiting for us, guys. In fact, Paul said in Peter said it in chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Listen to what he said. He said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're talking a living hope, not hope, a living hope. He says to an inheritance that's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. We have reservations. You remember when you got your reservation? You know, when you make a reservation at a hotel, you know, you call up, I want to make a reservation. Okay, give me a credit card. Oh, I don't want to give a credit card. You have to give them a credit card to hold down that reservation, right? And then they put you down and you go there and they mess it up anyways. You know, they always mess it up. They either don't remember or they don't have it down or it just messes up. Well, the minute that you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, guess what? You made a reservation in heaven. It's there. And you don't have to put down any credit card. God put down the debt when he sent his son to die on the cross for you. That was the credit right there. And he says, and I'm going to prove this to you because I'm going to give you the down payment. God says, I don't need a down payment. I'm giving you a down payment for this reservation in heaven. And that is the marking of the Holy Spirit on your forehead. He says, I'm going to give you a deposit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Boom. Your assurance that, guess what? I have you written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that you have a reservation. And he goes, it's kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, he says in verse 6, says, in this you greatly rejoice, if for a little while, if you need to, you might be grieved with various trials. How many of you love trials? Anybody here love trials? Good thing you didn't raise your hand, because I said, okay, Lord, give them all my trials. He says, you know what? In a little while, you have to grieve and you have to go through various trials. Because why? The genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold that perished. Though it's tested by fire, it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our trials make us who we are today. They make us into Christians. They make us come to Christ. They test us and they get rid of that junk in our life and they cause us to cry out to the Lord. And he says, whom you have not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet you believe, you rejoice with this joy unspeakable and full of glory. And here it is, that at the receiving of the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. That's when you're going to be perfect. Totally perfect in every form, every which way, in knowledge and in body. You are going to be perfect at the end of your faith when you step into eternity. I think of all those who went before us who they weren't perfect, and I can name a lot, and they struggled, and they had hard times, but now, wow, they are perfect. And if you want to know what they're like, Paul said, hey, when we see Jesus, we'll be like him because we'll see him as he really is. Can you imagine? What's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven in that perfect state? You ever think about what's the first thing you're going to do? I'm just going to, first time I look at Jesus, I'm just going to run up to him. I'm just going to grab his leg and hold on to him like my granddaughter does. I'm just going to hold on tight because I want him to drag me on the streets of gold. He's just going to go like this. Okay, let's go. And I'm going to love it. I ain't going to let go. So anyways, Paul, he tells us in Philippians, he tells us that the Lord has apprehended or he laid hold of those who are in Jesus Christ for one reason, and that is to perfect us. That's why he laid hold of you, because he wants to perfect you. He wants to make you perfect so you can live and you can worship and you can serve him for eternity. It starts now. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You don't have to wait till you die to get to heaven. It's within you. It's your relationship with Christ. And you should be able to enjoy his presence with you daily. I know we're not perfect and we're going to have our struggles. And, you know, sometimes some of us is hard to live with. I know I'm one of them. I'm hard to live with. But, you know, the kingdom of heaven, he's in within us. So at the end of our faith is the perfection of our soul. Now look at verse 13 of Philippians here. Paul says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for the things which are ahead. And I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. But nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. So the question is this. What will New Year's be like for you? What would it be like for me? If you're like me, I believe that we only have one life to live. So what are we going to do to make it count for eternity? You only have one life to live. We were talking about, you don't know when you're going to go, when the Lord's going to call you. You just don't know. I can just fall right now dead, boom, land right now, and he can take me home. We don't know. And I look at the news, and I watch how all these people are dying, and they're being killed. And I think, wow, they were just at, I used to think this, they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Not no more. When I got saved, I realized they're at the right place at the right time. Because God is calling them, especially when if they're Christians. If they're Christians, we just don't know. We have to live our life in Christ. We have to make it account for eternity. What will New Year's be for you? Will it be one of promises, one of resolutions? Will it be one of peace, prosperity? What will the new year be for you? Paul gives us 3 points here in these verses. I want you to write them down, especially besides, you know what, we're going into the new year, and you probably heard this many times. When you go into the new year, that's a time when you can start all over again. Wouldn't it be neat if that was true with everything, your debt? Okay, new year, wipe it clean, start fresh. You know what I mean? I really believe that if that happened every year, you would be back in debt within the first month because you just go and start spending, spending, spending. It's just our human nature. But the new year, it's a time when we can start all over again. But I want you to listen to what Paul says, what the new year should be for us. Look at verse 13. He says, "Brother, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, if forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead." So going into the new year should be a time where we write it down. Number one, we need to forget and let go of the past. That's it. Look what he says in verse 13. In the middle there, he says, "Forget those things which are behind you." Going into this new year is a time when we can forget and let go of your past. Let go of your faults. Let go of your failures. Let go of your circumstances that are in the past. It's a time to forget. It's a time to forgive. I always think of it as putting away the coulda, shoulda, woulda mentality of thinking. I always say that, man, I wish I coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? It's a time to start fresh. Forgive what you did in the past or what you didn't do in the past. Forgive those who might have done something wrong to you. If anybody had a lot to forgive and forget, Paul did. Paul had a lot that he had to forget and to forgive. That's why I believe he's writing this. Forget those things which are behind. Think about what he tried to get rid of. Paul was responsible for the death of many Christians. Can you imagine getting saved and then bringing that into your relationship, knowing that you were responsible for the death of your brothers and sisters in the Lord and children? How many of you would want to forget that? He had to forget that. Or about how about forgetting all those who came against him, and they were supposed to be on his side, and yet they were against him, and they persecuted him, they stoned him, they beat him, they left him out to dead, to die. All those people who had an offense against him, guess what? He had to put those things behind him. He had to learn to forgive and to forget. I love what David said in Psalms chapter 103, because I think the Lord gives us the best example of forgetting and forgiving. If you want to follow an example, follow God's example. Psalms chapter 103, verse 11. Listen to what he says. He says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as his is from the east, from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And I will not forget them. He will not remember them, I should say. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God cast your sin from you when you confessed it. He doesn't remember it. Why the east is the west? You throw it as far as the east and it just keeps going east and it doesn't stop. It doesn't come back. You go north, you throw it north or south, you end up going south, you end up going north again. It just keeps coming back. But if anybody has any reason to forget what he did in the past, it would have been Paul. All that he did. So if you think you have a heart, well, Pastor, I did some horrible things and I can't forgive myself. God forgave you. And if God forgave you, you need to forgive yourself. You need to forget. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to what it says. It says, "For I will be merciful to those, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember them no more." Praise God that God forgives my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. Jesus took them all on the cross. And I really believe that these two scriptures, they're evidence that God does not remember our sins. I got a little fly flying around here. God, he doesn't remember our sins. But just because God doesn't remember them doesn't mean he's forgetful, right? Because God's omniscient. That means he knows everything. He doesn't forget nothing. But because he's God, he chooses not to remember something. So he's the one that chooses not to remember your sin. He doesn't want to remember it. He's forgiven them. But doesn't mean that he's forgetful. He can choose not to remember something. But us, we tend to forgive someone, but we have a hard time forgetting the offense. Right? I'm guilty. I'm sure you're guilty of it. I'm sure you have forgiven somebody, but you have a hard time forgetting the offense. Well, then you haven't really let go of it all. Because like God who says, hey, I will forgive you and I will not remember it. Once you ask forgiveness, once you repent, it's wiped clean. Your slate is clean. And Paul, he tells us that we need to forget, we need to forgive. And if we don't forget those things which are behind us, and if we keep them, and we go into the new year dwelling on our past troubles, dwelling on our circumstances, dwelling on our weaknesses and our shortcomings or somebody else's, then those things are going to just suppress the work of God that's in our lives. It's going to keep us from all the blessings that the Lord wants to give us. Listen. If your mind is dwelling on the past, and if there's someone, or if it's dwelling on somebody else's past that defeated you, it's time to let God bring it to light and to heal you. Going into the new year, you got to let God heal you. If you're stuck in that mode of, that person did this to me, don't bring that into the new year. Let God heal you. Let God bring it to light and let him work in your lives. So what will the new year be for you? First one, it'll be a time where we can forget and forgive. Second resolution Paul gives us. Look at verse 13 at the bottom. After he says, forget those things which are behind, he says, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. That means you got to press forward. Write it down. Press forward. If you really want to be blessed, then you press forward. Forward in your faith in God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what Paul said. He says, if then you are raised with Christ, you seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Pressing forward, Paul says, is we need to seek on the things that are above, not the things that are, put our mind on the things that are on the earthly things. You want to be blessed in the new year? Let go of the baggage that you're carrying. Let go of that baggage that's in your life that's holding you back. And then you got to ask yourself this question. What is it or who is it that's holding me back? You have to ask yourself that, because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, listen to what he said in verse 5. He says, examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. So you have to examine yourself whether you are in the faith. And then after you examine yourself, you have to make some changes in your walk with God. You got to do something about it, right? You got to get your priorities in line. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, listen to what Paul said. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now even much more in my absence. And you probably know this. Anybody know what it says? Work out. Exactly. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In other words, we need to put God first in everything. This is when we do marriage counseling, this is the priorities I set with the husband, the couple that are getting married. I said, listen, to the guy, he says, your first priority is God, your relationship with the Lord. That's first priority. Second is your wife. Third is your children. Fourth is your job. And then fifth is your ministry. You don't put your ministry above your job, because your ministry ain't going to put food on the table. Your job is. And you got to take care of your family. The minute you get that all out of whack is when you have problems. And the same with the wives. Wives, priority is Jesus is your first love. I remember when Carmen told me, hey, you're second. What? I didn't understand. Who is he? Jesus is first. I was even upset with that. I wanted to be first. Wives, Jesus is first. Then your husbands. Then your husband. Not husbands. Your husband. Singular, not plural. Then your children. Okay? And then, you know, take care of your household. Never, that's the inner circle there. And then your marriage should be a threefold cord. Now, if you're single, that don't apply to me, Pastor, because I'm not married. Well, guess what? You are married. You're married to Christ. And then he is your number one priority. Your relationship is then, those of you who are single, guys, it's not the girls. It's Jesus is your first priority. And girls, it's not the guy. Jesus, your first priority. Once you get that out of whack, then you're going to suffer in your relationship with the Lord. You have to work out your own salvation. God has to be first in everything. That means you got to set your mind on the things that are above. You got to submit yourself to the will of the Father, because he tells us that we need to work out our own salvation. It doesn't mean you need to work for your salvation. It doesn't mean you have to work on your salvation. It means you have to work out your own salvation. It was already done at the cross. So what it means is you need to go to the spiritual gym, and you need to exercise and strengthen your faith. Because why? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, 17, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How many of you love to work out? You know, that's the biggest thing right now, is working out. I sit here and I see men and women all day long going and doing yoga right here. And I'm praying, how do we reach them? In the same way, spiritually, we have to work out, and we have to go to the spiritual gym and exercise our faith in Christ. We got to put God in everything. Paul says you have to work out your own salvation. That means you need to press forward. You got to let the Word of God, you got to let the Holy Spirit mold you. You got to let him shape you and make you into that woman or that man of God that he wants you to be. And then you got to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, right? And once you get the fruit of the Spirit, love, the love of Christ in your life, then you got to let joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control help you to press forward. So going into the new year is a time to press forward in your faith. Write it down. That's your spiritual resolution. The third one is, look at verse 14. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. So the third resolution for this year is you got to focus on Christ. Again, I mentioned that the new year is a time when you can start fresh. You can focus on Christ, a time to grow closer, a time to reach out for others for Christ. This is a time where we're going to fulfill our vision statement here at Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. We're going to fulfill it. And what is it? We got to tell others about Jesus. We got to teach others about Jesus. And we got to train others to bear fruit and to be sent for Jesus. That's focusing on Christ. The new year is a time we need to focus and live for Him. Stay focused and live as though what? As though He's returning. That Jesus is coming today. The rapture of the church. You know the rapture of the church could be this year? This year could be the year of our Lord. And if it's not, then guess what? I need to stay focused and be about His business. If it's not, I'm going to live as though it is. In fact, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus said this. Verse 32, He says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going into a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest come and suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. And then at the end of verse 37, he says this, watch. That's it. Then he stops. Watch. You don't know when he's coming back. And I think you need to ask the question. You know what the question is, right? Right? You know what the question is? Come on, every believer knows the question. The question is, if you knew that Jesus was coming back tonight, what would you do differently? What would you do differently? Well, that question was asked to Charles Spurgeon, great theologian. He was asked, if you knew Jesus was coming back tonight, what would you do differently? And they were totally amazed at his response. He said this. He said, nothing. Isn't that amazing? Nothing, because he's already living as though Jesus is coming back. He was already living it. And I think that's the way we need to be. Ask the question, if Jesus was coming back, what would you do differently? Could you say, nothing? I'm doing what I need to be doing. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I want that faith that he's looking for. Look at verse 12. We're going to end it here. Paul said this, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which is Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, sisterin, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is I forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. And I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it, even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. So as we prepare our hearts to take communion for the first time in 2017, ask yourself, what will the new year be for us? Hey, be like Paul. Let it be a time to forget, a time to forgive, a time of pressing forward, and a time to focus on Christ. And I love what David said in Psalms 39:4. He said, Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. I love his prayer. Lord, show me my own weaknesses. Show me where I need to change. I don't want to go into the new year the same way that I came out of this old year. I want to be different. Lord, remind me how short life is and how frail I am before I look at others, before I look at what's going out there. Help me to examine myself. That's what we need to do for the new year. Go in full blast for the Lord. Serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do here at North Park Christian Fellowship, Horizon North Park. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Amen? Let's pray.